G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Well, if you have a Bible, have a look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And verse 19. Give me an oi when you're there. All right. So it says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. So last week we were talking about fulfilling your destiny, and I didn't feel like it was all completed. It was more that I feel like really God really wants to bring out. And so I'm going to continue on with that. And it may even continue on for another part beyond today. We'll see. Just see how we go. But let me just recap a couple of things, and I'll make some additional comments as we go. You know, your destiny is your preferred future that God has planned for you. It's very different to how the dictionary defines destiny. The most dictionaries, if you look up the word destiny, it talks about some inevitable future event, some irresistible thing that will occur in your life. And it's just like, that's what's going to happen no matter what. Well, that's not the biblical idea of destiny, right? Your destiny is not set in stone. It is not inevitable. Your destiny, as we've just read from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, is your choice. God says, I've put before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And you have to choose. You have to make the choice what you want to do. And your destiny is in your hands. No one can determine your destiny except yourself. There is a plan that God has, and we'll recap some of that. We did look at it last week, and I want to add some additional thoughts to it. So God does have a plan for your life, and it's a wonderful plan, but it is not set in stone. It is not inevitable. You have a choice whether you want to cooperate with him and see it come to pass, or whether you want to do your own thing and go your own way, or something in between, a mix of the two. And sadly for a lot of believers, it's a mix of the two. Hey, and that's not the best. How many of you understand that God's plan for your life is the best thing you could ever do? Anybody understand that? If you don't, then you've put yourself in the place of God. And that might upset you or offend you, me saying that, but that's the truth. You're basically saying, no, I'm going to do what I want, and God's not going to tell me, I know better. You've put yourself in God's place. When you understand, God, you know everything, and you know what's best for me, and you choose to flow with that, then you're going to experience the destiny, the plans that he has for you are immeasurably superior to anything you could ever conjure up yourself. There are so many people who refuse to do what God wants them to do because in their mind they think they're missing out. You really think you're going to miss out? You think God's going to rip you off? You think he's got nothing else to do except make your life a misery or rip you off? Anything God ever asks you to surrender, and this is from personal experience, but even greater than this, it's from the Word of God as well. But anything God ever asks you to surrender, he will replace with something far, far superior. And if you just stick with him and you continue to walk with him, you will look back at that thing that you thought was a big sacrifice and you realize God rescued you from disaster. Yet when you gave it, you thought, oh man, God, this is a lot. You know, I'm giving you a lot. And yet you look back and you go, God, thank you. Man, I thought that was a lot. That's nothing to where he brings you. Hey, And so God does have a destiny. It's a preferred future that God has planned for you, but it's not set in stone. Listen to the New Living Translation, the same scripture we just read, but from the New Living Translation. It says, "Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live." Listen to the desire in God's heart. He's not just giving us the choice between life and death, but then he's crying out, "Oh, that you would choose life. Oh, I have so much for you. I have so much for you that it would just boggle your mind. Your jaw would hit the floor." It's like God saying that. But he's saying, choose. Choose life. He goes on, "You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give you to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." You know, your destiny, and I'm recapping some things here from last week and I want to add to it. Your destiny is not dependent on your background or even your abilities. God can use these. He can use your background and abilities, but it's not dependent on it, hey? So it's not dependent on your ethnicity or your family background or the level of education that you've had, your sporting ability or which side of the freeway you live, how many friends you have. It's not dependent on any of those things, how much income is coming in every fortnight or every week. It's not dependent on any of those things. You don't have to be the smartest guy in the world in order to experience God's plans for you. Hey, he makes it real simple. It's not always easy. There are times where he will speak to you and there are things that he will call you to do that in the natural, I'm not going to pull punches here. In the natural, they'll seem really difficult. Hey, but as you walk through those and do those things, you will experience the greatest life you've ever experienced. The greatest. You will never find anything greater than following Jesus and walking with him. But it's not dependent on that, hey? And so, you know, like thinking about, like, let me give you some examples. The Apostle Paul. He was highly educated by the top Jewish scholars. And yet, in spite of his background and his education, God called him to minister to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews. His destiny had nothing to do with his background. Or think about Peter, the Apostle Peter. He was an uneducated fisherman. And God called him to minister to the Jews, who prided themselves on knowledge. Prided themselves. I mean, a Jewish boy had to memorize the entire Torah, which was the first five books of our Old Testament, by the time he was 12. And yet, how many of you understand, and it says it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wisdom of the wise. Your destiny has nothing to do with your background. God can use some of it, and he can use some of your abilities as well. But it's not dependent. So you don't need to think about, like, oh man, I didn't go to uni, so I guess, you know, God can't really use me. No, he can use you. It doesn't matter what's happened in your life. It doesn't matter what you've experienced. And the good news with that is some people have had a horrific childhood. Well, guess what? Your destiny is not dependent on that. And that doesn't have to influence how you live out your life. Yet there are some people who are stuck. They're stuck and forever pointing to something, saying, if it wasn't for that boss that never gives me a promotion, if it wasn't for that neighbor that makes my life hell, if it wasn't for that teacher that I had in grade 5, or if it wasn't for the fact that my dad ran away from our family and I had to grow up in a single parent family, or maybe you didn't have any parents at home. I'm not trying to downplay any of those things. If any of those things are wrong. And some people have had horrific childhoods, and I'm not trying to say that that's not important. But what I'm trying to say is your destiny does not have to be determined by that. That might have happened in the past, but you choose what will happen to you in the future. You can't sit in a ditch and just say, well, you know, my girlfriend's not going out with me. That's why my life's so fouled up. Or I lost my job. That's why my life is so fouled up. You can't point to things from your past. Your past doesn't have to determine your future. You can deal with things from your past, and it's important to deal with those things. God has a wonderful plan for your life, and He says, choose. Choose. I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose. Your destiny is not set in stone, and it is not dependent on your background or your abilities or what happened in your family or what happened in your past. Hey, the choices you make will affect your destiny. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the story of Joseph in the Bible. You can read about it in Genesis chapter 37 onwards. But Joseph served for 13 years as a slave and then as a prisoner. Surely if someone had... And he was sold out as a slave by his family, his brothers, beat him up and sold him as a slave because they hated his guts. He was daddy's little boy. They got jealous. They thought they'd beat him up. And they couldn't stand the sight of him. Even after they beat him up, they thought, nah, let's sell him. We'll tell our dad that he got eaten by a mountain lion. That's what they did. They sold him as a slave. Can you imagine getting beaten up by your own family, getting sold into slavery, and you're taken to a foreign nation? But people don't even speak your language. I don't know if you understand or not, slaves have no rights. When they sold slaves, they stripped them butt naked and put them on a little pedestal, and people would walk around and inspect them to ensure that everything was there, what they were told was there. They would check their mouth, they would check under their arms, they would check everywhere to make sure, is this person diseased? Is there anything, you know, that I'm buying when I buy this slave that I need to know? They had no rights. And he was sold as a slave, and he worked in this general, this man named Potiphar. But he kept a sweet spirit. Hey, he knew he had a destiny. He knew God had had a plan for his life. In fact, not long before that, he actually had a couple of dreams where God showed him his destiny, that he would be a ruler. And not just any old ruler, he would be such a ruler that people would come and bow before him. Even his family would bow before him. And he was one of the youngest in his family. He grew up in a culture where you paid respect to your elders. I don't know if you understand that. There are some cultures like that. I worked as a chaplain in a school. And I remember I had this teacher call me one time, and he said, Can you come to my class and come and grab Eddie? And I said, yeah, what's the problem? He goes, oh, look, he's really distressed. Now, Eddie was, he was an Islander kid, and he was year 11 at the stage, but he was like two times my size. He was a big boy, like a lot of the Islanders are, you know, like really solid, I'm talking about. And he just commanded respect walking down the walkway. All the fellow students would just, everybody wanted to be Eddie's friend. And I'm thinking, what is making Eddie distressed? You know, so anyway, I went, pulled him out of class, brought him to my office, and we sat down, and he was really nervous. And he said, I'm not going home tonight. And I said, why is that? He goes, because I'm going to get a thumping. And I said, oh. I said, why are you going to get a thumping? And he said, because I went out last night to my friends, and I stayed at my friend's house, and I didn't tell anybody. And I said, well, you know that's wrong, don't you? And he goes, yep. He goes, still, I'm going to get a thumping. And he goes, I'm not going home. And I said, well, maybe I can help. Maybe I can call your parent, you know, maybe can I call your dad and chat with him? And just tell him that you've seen that what you did was wrong, you feel really bad about it. Would that help? And he goes, no, my dad's overseas. And I said, oh. I said, well, I can call your mum. I said, do you want me to call your mum? And he goes, no, my mum's with my dad. He's overseas. I'm thinking, who's giving you a thumping? He goes, my older sister. Man, she must fill the doorway. Because Eddie's a big boy. And he was scared. Well, see, he grew up in a culture where respect for your elders was just ingrained. You did not lift a hand to an elder. And Joseph had a dream that all of his brothers, all his older brothers would come and bow to him. Man, no wonder they got offended. Like, who do you think you are? I'm older than you, boy. I'm never going to bow to you. You got to respect me. Then he had another dream and he saw again his brothers doing it and he saw his mum and dad doing it. Wow, that was the end of it, eh? His brothers had enough. That's it. We don't care whether you're the favourite or not. We're going to beat this kid up. We're going to beat some sense into him, hey? He obviously thinks that he's too good for us. So we'll just remind him of his place in the family. They beat him up and sold him as a slave. Can you imagine that happening? I mean, put yourself in his position. If someone had a right to feel like they'd been ripped off, surely it should have been this man. Finding yourself in a foreign country, you have no more rights. You are a slave. You've got to do what you tell. You've got to wake up when you're told to wake up. You go to sleep when you're told to go to sleep. And you just do the jobs. And if you don't, you get beaten. And yet he did that because he knew in his heart that God had a destiny for him. And somehow, because of that, God began to give him wisdom and insight into the things that he was doing. And he began to find more productive ways of doing the tasks. Soon, his owner, Potiphar, this general, began to notice, man, everything I get this kid to do just turns out like better than anybody else that I've ever got. So he began to give him more authority and more authority and more. And then he just, and the Bible says God was upon him and God's blessing was upon him and blessed everything that he did. What happened? Joseph understood he had a destiny and he refused to allow what happened in his past to affect what was going to happen in his future. And soon this man Potiphar promoted Joseph to a place where he ran the entire plantation. He made this general a multi-millionaire in today's standards, in today's age, by today's measurements. Scripture says that by the end of it, Potiphar, this man, didn't even know what he had in terms of assets or equity or his bank balance. He left it all in Joseph's hands. He just knew, I'm a rich man. And all he knew was what's for dinner. That's it. And there in the midst of his success, and Joseph's seeing that he's been promoted to leadership, and he's thinking, this is like my dream. I'm becoming a leader. Even though he was a slave, he was leader of all the other slaves. And then he got framed. It's a long story. A lot of you are familiar with it. He ended up getting framed for something he never did and thrown into prison. Now, he's in prison in a foreign nation, and he's an innocent man. People are talking to him, what did you do? It tells them what they did, and he's saying, I'm an innocent man. And they go, yeah, sure, mate, everyone here is innocent, eh? But he really was. And yet he knew that he had a destiny. And so for 13 years, some of that was as a slave, and some of that was in the prison. For 13 years he served. And even in the prison, he ended up rising to the top of the ranks, where the warden of the prison allowed him to run the prison. And he learnt leadership because he refused to let go of one truth that he knew in his heart. God has a destiny for me. God has a good plan for me. And at the end of that 13 years, he was brought before the king, Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh said, I've had a dream and I've been told that you can interpret dreams. And look at the conditioning, what had happened to Joseph in his life. Joseph's response to Pharaoh, he said, no, it's not in me. But God will tell you what your dream is. God will show me and I'll tell you. He's standing before the ruler of the superpower of the day. Just looks him in the eye and says, no, I can't help you. But my God can. And he'll show me what your dream is. And he'll show me what it means as well. And within a matter of hours, he came out of the prison and he became the second most powerful man in Egypt, which was the superpower of the day. Hey, he became, well, ancient records talk about this Hebrew man. He's got an Egyptian name. I can't remember what his Egyptian name is, but the ancient records talk about a Hebrew man who became the minister of finance of the nation and saved the nation from disaster. That was Joseph. And it's because he held on to one truth. God, you got a good plan for me. I wonder if you know that truth, hey? I wonder if that's a truth that you allow to roll on the inside of you, where it grows bigger and bigger, so that you're not affected by the everyday circumstances of life. You're not affected by the job that you have. You're not affected by how much money you're making. You just know, God, you have a wonderful plan for me, and I can just take step by step, and you will show me. You know, not everyone's destiny will change the world necessarily like Joseph, say. But everyone's destiny will be a part of something so great that it will impact the world. Not everybody's going to serve in the spotlight. But everyone is called to do something significant. Your destiny could be that you're when I talk about destiny, destiny is, I believe, interchangeable with calling in the scriptures. And isn't it interesting in Ephesians chapter 1 where Paul says, I pray that God opens the eyes of your imagination that you can see the hope of his calling on your life. What's he talking about? He's talking about destiny. Your destiny could be that you're called to be a school teacher. That means you're not necessarily going to be impacting the world, but you're going to be part of something that will have an effect on the world. Your destiny could be that you're called to be a tradie or an inventor, a manager, a CEO, a politician, maybe a medical staff worker, a care worker, an entrepreneur. Many of you have a destiny and a calling to be a parent. There's an anointing for that. You need to learn to flow with that. Too many parents parent out of emotions. They feel bad, they feel guilty, and the kids learn how to manipulate their parents. And parents make decisions because they feel bad. Oh, you know, well, I'll do that. You know, they can't do this. I should really do something and stuff. Instead of seeking God as to what he wants you to do and how he wants you to do it. Sometimes the greatest thing you can do is be tough with your kids. You want them to learn to be strong before they experience the hard knocks of the world. And God will lead you, hey. And let me just say something else just while we're talking about parenting. If you're a parent and you've said something to your child, you should make good with what you say. Don't say something like, you do that again and I'm going to give you a smack, and don't carry it out. Otherwise, you're a liar. Well, you know, I just do that because I want to get their attention. Well, just say something to get their attention. Don't make idle threats, otherwise your word becomes meaningless to them, and then because you're the authority in their life, they'll then translate that to God. Well, God's word's meaningless. It's just like mum and dad. They just say things that don't mean anything. Learn to flow with the anointing. There's a calling. If you're a parent, there's a calling on your life to be a parent. And God doesn't just leave you on planet Earth and says, just do your best. Good luck. No, he wants to be intimately involved with your life to show you how to parent your children to get the most out of them, hey, and prepare them for their destiny. Do I hear an amen? Amen. And so, you know, like, not everyone's destiny will change the world, but everyone has a destiny that's significant, that will be a part of something so great that it will change the world. God wants to use you in a way that brings great personal satisfaction to you, because it's significant to you. I've talked at different times about this woman, Elizabeth Everest. She really desired to be a nanny. That was her desire. That was her dream. That's something she really wanted to do. She felt like she had the gifts, the personality, the ability she had. She felt like there were kids that she could give love to and help nurture them. And so that's what she became. She became a nanny. She ended up getting hired at some point as a nanny. She got hired by a couple who were high-flying socialites and very much involved in the political scene in Great Britain. This couple didn't have time. They had two boys and they did not have time to look after their boys because of the calling that was on their life in politics, but also the social life that also came with that, their reputation, all that. So they hired Elizabeth Everest. to look after these two boys. And she nurtured them. And these boys were in a family that did not know about the things of God, but Elizabeth Everest was a God-fearing woman. And she nurtured them and instilled into them the love that God had for them and the importance of putting God first in their life. One of those boys was Winston Churchill. And he led Great Britain. People recognize him as one of the greatest leaders that ever existed. He became Prime Minister when England declared war against Germany, and it looked hopeless. Germany had overtaken France, they'd overtaken Poland, no one could stand in their way. And that's when Winston Churchill was appointed Prime Minister. They sacked the Prime Minister that was there at that time, and they appointed Churchill. Churchill turned around to his butler and he said, "I was born for this hour." He understood, he had a sense of destiny, because there was a woman called Elizabeth Everest that told him, "God loves you and he has a good plan for your life." And when he became Prime Minister in England's greatest hour of need, he inspired a nation to stand up and get off your knees. Stand up. We'll fight them on the beaches, we'll fight them on the streets, we will never surrender. And when Germany surrendered, you know the first thing Winston Churchill did? He ordered that every cathedral in London be opened for a week. And he led the entire parliament to the cathedral, the main cathedral in London. I can't remember the name of it, but I think it was Westminster Abbey, but I could be wrong. But he led the entire parliament to Westminster Abbey, and they spent hours there giving praise and thanksgiving and worship to God. And he ordered the whole nation, "You get to your nearest church and give thanks to God." And all of that had its roots in this one obscure woman called Elizabeth Everest. See, your destiny may not be that you'll change the world, but God will make you part of something so significant, it'll bring you personal satisfaction and it'll help change the world. Now, last week we looked at how a sense of destiny will give you confidence to move into your future. Hey, I wonder if you really knew in your heart, God has a wonderful plan for me, something far greater than what I could imagine. I wonder how different your life would be, hey? I want you to think about that right now. What are the things you do? What do you do in your leisure time, your spare time? How do you spend your time? I wonder if it would be different. I wonder if your mood would be different if you really knew in your heart that God has an amazing plan for me. You wouldn't be depressed, hey? In fact, if you're born again, if you're a child of God, your spirit has never been depressed since the day you were born again. Hey. And so if you're born again, if you're a child of God, and you experience depression, you are not walking in the Spirit. And that's not a difficult thing to do. Now, some people say, "Oh, you don't understand my life. You don't understand what people did to me." See, you're letting your past affect your future. I'm not trying to downplay what happened. It could be wrong. But we can deal with it and then we can get on. You don't think God can heal your emotions? And if you're a child of God, and you're born again, your spirit, since the day you became a child of God, has never been depressed. Your spirit has never, ever felt deflated since the day you were born again. And you can stay in a place of the Spirit and experience that in your emotions as well. Hey, sense of destiny will pull you through the toughest of times, and it'll cause you to draw on the greatness of God. They're things that we talked about last week, so I don't want to say any more about them. You can get last week's message, hey, it's up on the website. It's a free download, it's on the homepage. And so, and this one will be up there tomorrow evening as well. You know, your destiny, I shared last week and I want to go into a little bit more detail with it today. Your destiny is very much entwined with where you work, where you live and where you worship. God will use these three things to teach you, to train you, to impart to you, to grow you, to develop you. Where you work, where you live, where you worship. So let me go through those just one at a time and just kind of give you a little bit of depth of what I'm talking about. Where you work. If you don't have a job, use your faith and get one. Don't be picky, don't be choosy. It's important. You can actually do the Bible way. You know, if you don't have a job, you can use the Bible method and it's guaranteed of getting you a job really, really quick. It says if you don't work, don't eat. You'll be amazed how motivated you'll be to find a job. Hey, use your faith if you don't have a job and get a job. Don't be picky about it. Get whatever. And then once you've got that job, if it's not your ideal job, use your faith and get a better one. But get something because it's important that you're a contributor. Hey, if you're working, you should be contributing to the running of your house. That's important. You can't be a mooch. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says the mooches will inherit the kingdom of heaven. It's important. Well, you know, if I give money to board, well, then I won't have much for myself. Tough. Believe God for a better job then. But if you're old enough to work, you're old enough to contribute and be a contributor. Hey, it's not right if you're working and you're not contributing to the running of the house. Hey. If you do have a job, consider what your role is in that job. Let me explain. Hey, some jobs could be very much entwined with your calling. The last couple of jobs I've had, the job that I've got now as a pastor, that's very much entwined with my calling. My job before that, when I worked as a chaplain, was very much entwined with my calling. Very, very directly connected with my calling. But before that, I used to work as a bus driver for a few years. I loved that job. Felt like my office was always at a different part of town. You know, that was my temperament, my personality. I could get behind the wheel. I found it tremendously relaxing driving. Now, some people are not like that. They're not built like that. It's like they stress out. Joy was someone like that. We'd be driving and, you know, there's a lot of traffic and someone cuts in front of you and it could be a little bit abrupt and I could be like, whoa, you know, like that. Joy will go, did you see that? And if we happen to overtake them, as we're overtaking them, she'll go and try to give them this look. But she grew out of that, hey. She grew out, she matured and she came to a place where she was able to say, God, just bless them. Sometimes she'd say, bless them with a brick, but usually she would just say, just bless them, God. Just bless them. Hey. Sometimes your role in a job is just like an assignment that God has for you, but it may not be directly related to your calling. I worked as a bus driver for a number of years. There was no direct correlation with my calling, but I knew I was where God wanted me to be. And there were assignments that He had for me. There were a number of bus drivers who to this day will look back and know that there was an impact that God made on their life because of me. And there were a number of people that spoke into my life as I worked in that job. Hey, so I was where God wanted me to be, but it wasn't directly. Can you see what I'm saying? And so sometimes your job is like the assignments that God has for you, but it's not directly connected to your calling. Don't ever take a job or refuse a job based on how much it pays. Always consider what God has to say about it. Because, if it was dependent on pay, I never would have been a chaplain. Hey, that didn't pay a real lot. But how many of you understand God can more than make up for any sort of shortfall if you're doing what He's told you to do? My income is not governed by what the church pays me. The church pays me a fraction of my income. My income is far, far greater than what I get from the church. And God is good. And God is faithful. And so, your destiny is tied up in where you work. Hey? And it could be that there are assignments that God has for you in where you work. And you can learn at your work. You can learn to grow and minister. You can learn about leadership, learn about management, learn about different things as you grow. Hey, it's also connected, very much entwined with where you live. Hey, Do you realize the safest place you can be is the will of God? Don't just pick a place to live. Seek the Lord about it. God, is this where I'm meant to be? In fact, James warns us specifically, don't just make a decision and say, oh, we're going to move here and we're going to live there for a year and we'll do some business and maybe make a profit, then we'll come back and do this. It actually warns, it says, don't do that. But it says, seek the will of God. Lord, are you willing? Is it your will for me to do this? Seek what He has to say. The safest place you can be is where God wants you to be. And if you're not seeking about where He wants you to be, you could be in a very unsafe place. I remember Andrew Womack was sharing about these two ladies who were at his Bible college, and it was a prerequisite at their college they would have to go on a missions trip. And both of them were going to a missions trip into war-torn areas. Anyway, with one of them, she came and she spoke with Andrew and she said, look, she said, I'm really concerned about where you're taking this team. There's terrorists over there. It's really dangerous. And my husband's not comfortable. And so Andrew sat down with her and her husband and said, well, yeah, there is risk, but this is something we've been doing for a few years and we do try to minimize those risks. But ultimately, we believe this is what God wants us to do. And I believe it would be good for you to go. I believe you'll learn something. This other lady, same year level, she also came and spoke with Andrew, shared the same sentiments. Listen, you know, like this is, you know, like where you're sending us is really dangerous. So are you sure about this? You know, I'm not sure if my family's comfortable about me going. And he went through the same things and encouraged her to consider it. And one was going to Afghanistan and the other one was going to one of the Latin American countries, whether it was Honduras or anyway, one of the other ones that were there where there was a lot of upheaval, a lot of political upheaval, a lot of gunfights and rebels versus government and so on. Anyway, the first one who was going to Afghanistan, finally the husband rang Andrew and said, no, I'm not comfortable at all. I don't want my wife going. And so she never went. The team went. And the second one, she talked with her husband and her family and they agreed, all right, yep, you can go. And she went. The one that stayed home got killed in a car accident. The one that went abroad got caught in a gunfight. Their whole team got caught in a gunfight and they came out of it. Not one of them was scratched or harmed in any way. The safest place you can be is in the will of God. Just because God may want you to live somewhere that doesn't look really safe doesn't mean that you're not safe. If that's where God wants you to be, He'll take that responsibility. But if you take it on your own shoulders and you decide, well, you know, I'm going to live wherever I want to live. God says, hey, I'm going to give you a choice. You can choose life or death. You can do things my way, you can do things your way. I can't guarantee your way, but I will. If you follow me, I will look after you if you do it my way. Your destiny is also very much entwined with where you worship. Hey, have a look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Are you getting something out of this morning? I'm going to read it to you from the New Living Translation, and it talks about He, or Christ, makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Your destiny is entwined with where you worship. Don't just pick somewhere to worship because you've got to pick somewhere to worship. Don't come here and make this the place where you're going to worship, maybe because there's good preaching or because the music's good. Talk to God about it. If you're not meant to be here, we don't want you here. And those of you who are regulars, you understand. If you're not regulars here, I'm not saying that to be rude. God has somewhere for you. Find where that is Hey, if you feel a sort of a connection, well, hang around and see. It could be. Maybe you're meant to be here. And if that sense of connection grows, well, then you can look at how you can serve and become a part of this. Hey, but if you're not meant to be here, then find where you're meant to be. There is no such thing as a Christian without a home church. You will not find that in the Bible. Every Christian had a home church. And the reason is what we've just read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, that Christ makes the whole body, that's the church, fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. If you're meant to be here, there's a role you have to play that'll be a blessing to others. As each part does its work, it causes the other parts to grow. And if you're meant to be here, there are things that the people here will minister to you that you need. Do you realize there's some things you will never ever get unless you are where God wants you to work, where He wants you to live, and where He wants you to worship? We're talking right now about where He wants you to worship. Some people have this idea, well, you know, it's just me and Jesus, baby. That's all I need. Don't need no one else. That is unscriptural. Yes, God does want a relationship with you, and it's a very personal thing, and He'll minister to you. But there's a reason why He's put pastors and apostles and prophets and evangelists in the body of Christ. If it was everything just between you and Jesus, why have these others? It's because there are some things that you'll never get just directly from God. But you will get it when you are where God wants you to worship, where God wants you to live, and where God wants you to work. And so it's important, hey, find where you belong and then begin to serve. You know, if this is where you belong, flow. Flow. If this is where you're meant to be and you're deliberately resisting the direction of this church, well, you're in rebellion. You're not flowing. The scripture talks about obey your leaders because they have watch over your souls. It actually says obey your leaders and be submissive. There's a reason why it says obey and be submissive. Obedience has to do with your actions. Submissiveness has to do with your attitude. It says, don't be a cause of sorrow to them because this would not be profitable for you. If this is where you're meant to be and you're deliberately resisting the direction that God is calling our church to go in, you are in disobedience. And so it's important, hey, God, there's a reason why, you know, like wherever God calls you, there's a vision that God's given the leadership and we flow with that. Hey, if you're meant to be somewhere else, find out where that is and flow with the vision that God has given that leadership. And God has a destiny. You know, it says it so often through the scriptures about the destiny, hey. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, we are His work, talking about God's work, created in Christ for our work, which God prepared for us. That's my kind of modern day translation. You can read it. It actually says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand for us. But my kind of modern day slang on it is we are His work, created in Christ for our work, which God prepared for us. God has prepared you for a work, for a job. That's your destiny. That's why He said to Jeremiah, He said, before you were born, I ordained you and called you to be a prophet. Do you realize your destiny, the plan that God has for you was worked out before you were even a consideration to your parents? Hey, but it's not set in stone. It's not locked in because you have a choice in how that plays out. And if you're just living what you want to do and what you feel and how you want to go, well, you're missing out on the greatest thing that will ever happen in your life. What if Jeremiah refused to be a prophet? God said, I ordained you before you were born and called you to be a prophet. What if he refused to be a prophet? He could have. He could have chosen, oh, I've heard about these prophets. Most of them get stoned, don't they? I'm not sure that whether that's a really good career path for me. Hey, what does it pay? Nothing. Oh, that's not very good, is it? This is really important, hey. You know, with regard to your destiny, with regard to your calling, you will not be judged according to what you did. You will be judged according to what you were called to do. Now, I don't have time this morning to go in and prove that to you, but if you want to hear more about that, there is a series that I preached earlier this year called Christian Basics. And the last four or five messages on that, resurrection of the dead and eternal judgments, I go into much greater detail with scriptures. We will all answer for the life that we lived. And part of the thing that we will answer for is the call, the destiny that God had planned for us. Just like he said to Jeremiah, before you were born, I ordained you and called you to be a prophet. Before you were born, God had a plan for you. And with regard to that plan, with regard to that calling, you won't be judged on what you did, you'll be judged on what you were called to do. If you were called to be a cleaner, but you chose to be an accountant, and you gave 90% of your money, or you gave half of your money to the poor, and you did all these wonderful works, and you were the accountant for your church, looking after their books, and did all these wonderful things, all of it will be burned up and counted as rubbish and nothing, because it was not what you were called to do, if you were called to be a cleaner. And I go into far greater detail in that series, so you can have a listen to that. So this is why destiny is so important. It's so important for us to recognize and begin to start flowing with God and start hearing from Him and start moving into the place where we start seeing the destiny and the plans that He has for us coming to pass and becoming realized in our life. If you are where you're called to be, every little thing you do counts. Whether it's giving a little kid a drink of water, whether it's helping a little old lady across the road, or whether it's ministering to someone who's feeling condemned, you're ministering the mercy of God. Whether you're doing some practical needs, someone needs their lawn mowed, so you go and mow their lawn. Whether you sow financially into someone's life. Every single thing you do, if you're where you're meant to be, then every single thing you do will be recorded and you will be recognized for those. It's so important. That's why I guess I've been stirred up to talk about it a little bit more. Every act of kindness, every act of mercy, every dollar you give, every person you help will be recognized and rewarded if you're moving in the place. If you are not where God wants you to be, you can change that, hey? And that's why I believe God's getting me to preach this. Because I believe some people need to make some changes. You might be sitting here thinking, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. That's okay. You can change from this day and say, God, I'm all ears. I'm open. I'm ready. You got my attention. You got something wonderful for me. I want to move in that. And you can make a start on that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, like, I could share just so many stories, you know, like, about people who have just fulfilled their destinies. One of my favorite is a man by the name of Stanley Tam. I believe he's still alive today. He would be in his late 90s if he was. You can Google him and check out his life. It's just an amazing story. But this guy grew up in abject poverty. His dad was a businessman but never really took off in business. But Stanley kind of picked up that desire to be in business. And his desire was really to serve God through business. He wanted to make money because he just wanted to pour it into the kingdom. I believe God's going to raise up people like that, hey? Who are going to be like that? I can go. I won't go. I'll just stay on topic. One right at a time, eh, Tim? Stanley Tam, he just had this desire, and he started off a number of businesses, but just kind of never amounted to much. And anyway, he got this business idea and kind of prayed it through, and he tried to implement it, and it wasn't being implemented. And he just come to the end of himself, and he'd run out of money. He had his last dollar, which he was putting into his car to have enough fuel to get home. And he really felt like the Lord speaking to him, saying, "Stanley, why don't you hand the business over to me?" And he's thinking, like, what? And he said, "Make me your senior partner." And he said, "All right." He said, "All right, I'll do that. Lord, I'm making you my..." And in his heart, he just made this decision. And he just kind of started getting these ideas about little things that he could do to kind of sharpen his business. And so he began to do that. And he began to... money started to come in. Soon he was making more than enough for his family to be looked after. And so then he went to a lawyer. And he said to this lawyer, he said, "I want you to draw some paperwork up for my business, some legal papers. And there are two main partners in this business. One is me," and he said, "and the other one is God." And the lawyer said, "Who?" And he said, "God." And he goes, "What address do I put?" And Stanley said, "I don't know." He said, "You're the lawyer, you work it out." He said, "I want God as my senior partner in my business." And the lawyer said, "We can't do that. He needs to have a physical address." And so he went and contacted another lawyer, went there, couldn't do it, went to another lawyer, went to a number of lawyers, could not get anyone to do it. Finally, he found a lawyer who said, "All right, we might be able to do, you know," he said, "All right." He said, "I think I might have found a way where we can do that." So he drew up these papers. And he said that God was his senior partner. He wanted it put in writing. So it wasn't just something that was a decision of his heart, but out of his heart there was an expression there. His business really began to mushroom now. It just began, it's just like the blessing of God was on his business. He was a tither and he was tithing regularly, but his business was doing so well, he decided he would begin to give 20%. The business was paying him a good salary. And so he was now giving his tithe, and he was giving an extra 10%. And his business was just growing more and more and more. And so the next year, he went to 30% of his personal finances. He began to put his tithe and then 20%. It just continued to grow. The next year, he made it 40%. The next year, he went to 50%. He was giving half of his salary. And he was living off the other half and just doing better than what he was when he was giving 10. He went to 60%. The following year, 70%. The following year, 80%. The following year, he went to 90%. He was giving 90% and living off a tithe. And he was doing better. And God began to just open up opportunities. By now, the business was just, it was like a corporation. It's called U.S. Plastic Corporation. And he had just many, many workers working for him. He didn't even need to be at work anymore. He would just travel the world, just share the gospel with people, share the gospel with other business leaders, world leaders. One day he was in South America and he was ministering over there, and the Lord woke him up in the middle of the night and began to deal with him. And he said, "Stanley," he said, "do you trust me?" He said, "Lord, you know I trust you." He said, "Will you do anything I tell you?" He said, "Lord, you know I'll do anything you tell me." He said, "I want you to give me 100%. Give the entire business over to me. Give me 100%. He wrestled with that for a few days. Finally, he came to this place and he said, "All right, God, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll do." So he got home, he called that lawyer again, he said, "100%. God now owns my business." He actually wrote a book called God Owns My Business, where he shares the story of that. And he became a worker, and he just became someone on a standard salary, and God began to bless him financially beyond that. You might not be called to business, eh? You might not be called to be a nanny. You might not be called to be a tradie. You might not be called to be a bus driver, but you do have a destiny. you do have a calling. And it is really, really crucial, particularly as we come into the final stretch of these end times, that you discover where you're meant to work, where you're meant to live, and where you're meant to worship. And you begin to bloom where God has planted you. Hey, you begin to flourish and you begin to flow.